house, the hope of the house of Rahab, and the hope of the scarlet line that she lowered. Those two ideas is centrally where we focus this morning, concerning the safety that God mandated for Rahab and her family and all those who would enter her house, specifically her family, because that's who she asked for, but also the confirmation of God's judgment against the city of Jericho, and then her faithfulness in protecting the spies and in them keeping their promise to her and keeping their oath. So having spied out the scarlet line that she lowered from her house, they would have recognized which house was to be kept alive. No harm was to come to those inside of that house as long as they remained inside. Now they were to be free from their oath if they left and went outside, and that was an out-of-bounds area, if you will. But as long as they stayed in, they would be kept under the oath that the spies made, which is, in essentially, God's oath. In chapter 3 and 4, we get to see kind of what happens before this. And I want to start in chapter 3, beginning verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim, and they came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days, the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure, and come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore or before. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests to bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. So I want you to think of the second half of this lesson as the time to move out. The time to move out. Joshua gives the order for them to move out, and God has given a line, if you will. There was an order to it. And think this is always consistent with God throughout the Bible, that he has an order. He has a clear logic of his instruction. He never leaves the things that he commands for his people to do to chance. He doesn't leave it for them to just kind of figure out on their own and says, this is where I want you to go. Get there any way you know how. He always has a plan. And if they follow that plan, every recorded event with God's people always came to success. Every time they followed his plan, without fail, they were victorious. Over their enemies, over famine, over tragedy, over disobedience in the camp. It is so consistent that we can never ignore this simple idea. So think of it in this idea. Here's the line as they're going to move out. The Ark of the Covenant is in front. And you remember this is the same ark. It held the two tablets of stone, the manna that fell, Aaron's rod that budded. It was a symbol of God's power. Whenever they had that before them, they knew two things. God was with them, and wherever that ark went, they were going to succeed. All they had to do was follow. That's all they had to do. It's so simple. And it's the same principle true with the Bible. If we will just follow the Bible and the Bible only, we will always have God out front, and when following it through, he will reward and give us the victory. Always consistent. Book, chapter, and verse. But when we begin to veer off of that path, whenever the ark was not out front, when they chose to carry the ark in a way that was not listed, when they let others touch the ark, all those things that went against his plan, it failed. So that was the first. The Ark of the Covenant was to be in front. The priests of the Levitical priesthood were to carry the Ark. Not everybody, only the Levites. Only those of the priesthood were to carry the ark. And he says, that will be the lead out. Nobody is to go before this. There's an order to this. You don't choose to go when you want to. You wait. The Ark of the Covenant is out front. The Levites are going to carry it. And then there's going to be a distance, about 2,000 cubits. Approximate distance from the elbow to the fingertip. 2,000 of those, that's where the priests are going to go. And as long as they're out front, that's where you go. Why? Because we're going away over the Jordan. You haven't been here before. You don't understand. You don't know. And can't you hear God speaking to us today? There is a way of life that you don't know and understand because you have not experienced this yet. And I'm telling you, I know the way of this life. And if you follow this and leave this light out front, let it be a light unto your feet, a lamp unto your path. You won't veer neither to the right nor to the left. You'll find the way that leads to life eternal. What is the significance? Deuteronomy 31:9, put the word of God in front. Put the word of God in front and you'll follow because you've never been this way before. Psalm 119, verse 35, make me to go in the paths of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. And sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that, brethren. Make me go. Because you know what? If it's left up to me, I won't find time to go. Amen. If it's left up to me, I won't have enough zeal and desire to go. If it's left up to me, I'll get tired and fatigued, and I may not want to go. If it's left up to me, I may be physically exhausted and may decide I'm just not fit to go. Make me go in thy path. 119, verse 130, the opening of thy words giveth light, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. So when we're going somewhere we've never been before, we better let the word of God be in front of us at all times. And that's every day, brethren. Every day in life, we need to let the word of God be in front of us because it's somewhere you haven't gone before. And you think about that. Every day, brethren, I am praying for you as your preacher. Every day, I'm thinking about plans for the church here at Frisco. Every day, I'm praying for the elders. I'm praying for the deacons. And I'm praying to put the word of God in front of me. Let me know my purpose. Protect me. Protect the church. Let her reputation be without spot. Let us be a light in this city. Because we're going in a direction and we're going to a place we haven't been before this day. Tomorrow's not promised. But the Lord willing, we see it. It'll be different from today. And we can have everything in order, and we haven't had any major problems here, and we've had such a time of peace and things going on. But sometimes that's only because we don't know about the problems. And I'm telling you right now, I don't know enough about your problems, and I need to. Because if I don't know about your problems, Satan definitely knows about them. And he will use them. And he will use the appearance of peace to keep them just underneath the surface until they erupt because they're out of control. And every day is like that, isn't it? You know, you go into work and you left on Friday or you left on Saturday and you had things pretty much in order. You know, nobody died. and the project you're working on is pretty much in order and you clocked out and everything seemed to be, and you can go back tomorrow or later this afternoon, and it may just be crazy. Somebody robbed the place. Somebody quit. They've been there 30 years, and they just up and left. Or a major client just decided, I don't want to deal with you anymore. And it's just in all disarray. And you know what you have to do? You have to start all over. It's a new day. And you have to meet those challenges anew. But if you are a Christian, you have a leg up always. On everybody else around you at work, on everybody else around you at school, on everybody else around you on your team or in your neighborhood who are just trying to make it. And most of the time they're just faking it until they make it. We need the word of God out front because we're going on a path that we've never been before. Why are we buried in water for the remission of sins? Why is baptism not a sprinkling, not a pouring? It's because there's a process. And through that process, I become a new creation, a new person in Christ Jesus. But I've got to follow that. So right behind the priests, they put the fighting men. And then behind them, you know who they put? The women. They put the women there. Why? Because God had an arrangement. He wanted the women to be protected and taken care of. So the priests are out front. The ark was out front. Here's the fighting men. Now stay where God put us. Oh, that's so hard for us to do. Because the world says, but if I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is the Father or God. But they'll say, that's not true. I'm just as good as you are. I have just as much right to be out front as you do. That's not what Joshua told the people. He didn't say just whoever wanted to be out front and be with the ark could go there. He specifically said only the Levites. Order of things makes a difference. 1 Peter 3:7 is still true. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together with the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Who were behind the women? Well, the children, all the animals, all the things that they needed, they were preparing to cross over. And because they did it in the order that God commanded it, in the roles that God commanded, they were successful. We have a Jordan to cross ourselves. Not a physical river, but our river is death. And all of us are going to cross over that river. I wish I could tell you what that river is like, but I haven't crossed it. I haven't had anyone who crossed it to come back and tell me what it's like. But I know this, if the word of God goes before me through that river of death, I'm going to find victory on the other side. I'm going to find victory. We've got to let it lead us. When they came to the banks of the Jordan, it was overflowed. Most of the records I looked up said the Jordan River is anywhere between 120 to 115 miles across. How they measured it, I'm not sure. But it was long enough for one major thing, for the priests, for the fighting men, for the women, for the generation, the children, for all the things that came with them. It was long enough for them to have faith. It was not short enough that it could have just been a climate change that it was dry enough for them to cross. It was not short enough that they could have just waded through high enough and then told people, well, it was really dry. It was long enough that the only way they were going to cross the Jordan on dry ground was by God's power. The priests came to the water because it overflowed. Maybe it was up to their ankles. Maybe it was up to their knees. But at some point, it came to a depth where they could no longer walk. They had to have faith. And when that ground was dry, then all the people could pass through. And after all the people passed through, after this rising, after their faith was shown, what did Joshua tell them to do? Drop down to verse 12. Now therefore take you 12 men out of the tribes of Israel and out of every tribe of man, and it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters and come down from above, and they shall stand upon and heap. And it came to pass when the people removed from their tents and to pass over the Jordan, the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. And as they bear the ark, where came unto Jordan, the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for the Jordan's bank overfloweth, and all his banks all the time of harvest, and the waters which came down from above stood and rose up into a heap very far from the city, Adam, and that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people passed over the right against Jericho. Now if you drop down to verse 2 of chapter 4, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, take hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet were stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye be these stones? Then ye shall answer them, the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Why'd they build a memorial? They built it so that when the children passed by, they would know the power of God happened here. And brethren, we have to do that. We have to build a memorial, not just for our children, but for our children's children. And not just for our children, but for all the children that are in this city of Frisco to know when they pass by this place, when they pass by you, they are in the presence of those who have been obedient to the Lord. That's your monument. And people will see it and they'll recognize it and they will honor God because of you if you've left those kinds of stones. But sometimes fathers leave other kinds of stones, stones of shame and embarrassment, stones of lost opportunities, of lost faithfulness. And children grow up and they're full-grown adults and they can't grow up with fond memories of being in worship together and spending time in fellowship and getting to know other Christian families. They miss out on those memorials. They built the monument. They went over the river, and they continued to march toward the city of Jericho. Now let's go over, or actually let's go down to verse 14 in chapter 4. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of testimony to come out of Jordan. And Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come out of the midst of the Jordan, the soles of the priest's feet were lifted up unto the dry land, and the waters of Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. I mention that verse to say this. Time will always wash away what is done in the past. But if we stand as the memorial, it can't be washed away. Your children see you faithful, they can't forget. Your children's children see you faithful, they won't forget. Because they'll know I have faithful mom and dad. They'll know I have faithful grandmas and granddads. We have to understand and believe this one thing. Israel walked through the Jordan, and we will walk through if we're faithful unto death. Finally, they came to the walls of Jericho. Israel walked all around the wall once a day for 7 days, and on the seventh day walked around that many times. And then once they finished, they blew the ram's horn and the walls came down. How did it happen? Because they did it the way the Lord commanded them for it to be done. That's the only explanation that this small army against this great number, this huge fortified city, could have happened the way that it did. They were acting by faith as we must act by faith today. Some will stand just like that wall, and you'll hold up the word of God, you'll hold up the truth, and they'll be obstinate toward it. And they'll be just like that wall. And you'll march around and you'll tell them the truth, and you'll share the word with them, and you'll live the example, and that wall will just stand there as if it's never going to fall. But thanks be to God that there'll be some with an open heart, and that wall is going to fall down. But it won't fall down because you were such a good example. It won't fall down because you knew so many scriptures. It will fall down because of the power of faith and because of the power of the word of God to affect the hearts of men when they're open. There are some lessons here for us to quickly grasp. One, the people of God were to stay this great distance from the priest. And you think about that, there are some implications from it for us today. And that is, leaders need room to lead. They need room to lead. Leaders have to have those times to pray, to plan, to persevere, and to be focused on the needs of the congregation and the whole, as a whole. And without that, leaders lose the vision of the needs that are going on. They had those, the fighting men, who were just as skillful, whose role was just as vital, but it was different from the role of the priests. And that distance was necessary. They needed time to be able to think. And we need that today for our leaders. Second lesson is the one house of Rahab. The one house of Rahab. Out of all these houses upon the wall, only her family was saved out of the whole city. Because as you read through chapter 7 and 8, they killed everyone. They didn't leave anyone alive. Not the king, none of the people. The only ones in that whole city that we have recorded here were those who were inside the house of Rahab. And some read that just like they read things in Leviticus or other, and they see God was so harsh and so cruel and so without mercy, and yet he was merciful. He was merciful to those who were in the house. He was not cruel to them. He was long-suffering to them. As long as they stayed in the house, that was the right house. And they recognized that that was only one house. That was Rahab. Today, faith comes by hearing by the word of God, that we enter in one house. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know that how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. We must heed and listen, and we must remain. We must remain. There's our lesson on faithfulness. If we don't remain in this house, if we're distracted by all that's going on around this house and we lose sight of where we are, safe and protected with God, then we end up in danger. And just as the people were destroyed in the city of Jericho, Satan is out to destroy you and me. Not in the physical sense, but he's definitely out to destroy our faith. He's definitely out to destroy our love for the Lord and anything good in our lives. Let's have the hope that they had. God would keep his word. That's all Rahab had to trust in. These men are going to keep their word. I did them kindly. They made this promise. They served the right God. They're going to keep their word. And God will keep his word with us. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, you are great and wonderful. You're patient and long-suffering. You are kind. You are without any evil, nor can sin even stand in your presence. Father, we are your people, and we seek to be closer to thee. We ask that you'll walk with us. We ask that you'll guard our hearts. We ask, Father, that you'll make us to heed your commandments. Father, we lay ourselves open before you, and we submit to thee an open heart. Help us to think on those things that are pure and just and lovely and honorable. Help us to have the attitude of the faithful men and women of God that passed over Jordan. They passed over in the midst of danger. They were victorious and they received the promised land. Help us, Lord, that when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death spiritually, and we face those things that are so overwhelming in our lives, to know that you're with us, that your word and truth goes before us. We need you, Father, because there are times when we get weary. There are times, Father, when the road gets long and becomes so burdensome. Father, we ask for your help, especially for our nation and our world, that through the light of truth, the people will come to truth. Through our lives and through the work that we do in spreading the gospel, Father, we will change the tide of religious error, the tide of evil and of discord, the tide, Father, of a lack of morals and values and, and customs that are righteous and godly in your sight. Help us to be that people, that people will hear of us and they want to be a part of us because they know that God is with us. Father, we know that's only possible if we know and study your word and we live it. Help us to do that through patience, through wisdom and understanding. Let us be your people. Forgive us, Father, that times we lose sight of that. At times, Father, when we so want to do what's right, we just find ways not to do it. We ask your forgiveness. We ask for your help. We ask, Father, for a greater measure of zeal, a greater measure of understanding, especially, Father, as parents, as leaders, as servants in this generation. Father, help us to hold up the banner of truth for our children and for their children. Let us never lose sight that you are always in control in all things. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We do want to offer the Lord's invitation at this time. For any who would need prayer or strengthening, please come as we stand, as we sing.